This is Janae Marie Kroc, and when I'm not hitting the weights hard, I love to listen to Feast of Fun.
At one point in time, bodybuilder Janae Marie Kroczelewski was known as the world's strongest man for hitting the world record in powerlifting. Janae's 220-pound body lifted a jaw-dropping 1.25 tons of pure iron in bench press, deadlift, and squat.
When Janae was outed as trans, it sent shockwaves through the powerlifting and bodybuilding world and made many folks reconsider for the first time what it means to be a woman. In the new documentary film Transformer, Janae Marie Kroc is discovering how she can live as a trans woman authentically and still lift like a champion.
Today, championship bodybuilder, powerlifter, and trans pioneer Janae Marie Kroc joins us to talk about her new documentary Transformer, which follows Janae as she navigates her life as a non-binary trans woman, powerlifting icon, bodybuilder, and parent to three amazing sons.
Plus, a look at high-profile trans celebrities in film like Chaz Bono and Caitlyn Jenner.
And how Janae made history for developing the Kroc Row. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of fabulous people just like you. Thank you. Unlock a delicious world of podcasting magic and listen to thousands of amazing shows at feastoffun.com/plus.
Hello.
Hi, is this Janae Marie Kroczelewski?
It is.
Hi, Janae. This is Fausto.
And Mark from Feast of Fun. How are you doing today?
I am doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing fantastic.
We're so excited to talk to you. We've been fans of Kroc Rows for years.
Oh, awesome.
And it's not every day you meet a bodybuilder who actually has an exercise named after them. It's pretty unique. It's quite an honor.
Oh, thank you.
So for people who are listening who may not understand what a Kroc row is, it's a dumbbell row with a lot of weight, but using either the weight rack or an inclined bench to target your back in a much more intense way.
Yeah, typically. And typically I perform them for very high reps, and there's a couple technique twists that I put on them. But yeah, and a lot of times using the bench or the dumbbell rack was basically a necessity because of the size of the dumbbell I was using. So...
And at one point in time, you were known to the world as the strongest man on the planet.
For my weight class, yes. Yeah.
And now with this new documentary film, you're making yourself vulnerable as a woman.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Quite the contradiction, huh? Or appears to be anyway.
Throughout this journey, what's been the biggest surprise for you living your life authentically as a woman?
The biggest surprise. There's been a bunch. And there's a lot of things I expected, too. The biggest surprise, I would say, would be the support from the female strength community. I was afraid that they might see me as an imposter or, feel threatened somehow. And that really concerned me, but it actually turned out to be completely the opposite. They've totally embraced me and have been amazing. And I've really gained a lot from them as well, because same with a lot of the things I've struggled with most, which is, combining my passion for strength training with my femininity. A lot of those women struggle with the same thing. So it was the first time I met a group of people who could really relate to one of the biggest struggles I have in my life. So that's been really nice to have that community and that support.
It's a real shame because we don't make space as a society for women to lift weights and be strong.
Right. Yeah. I mean, what are we told from day one? That boys are big and strong and that, girls are pretty and dainty and, little girls from the time that, the time they can toddle around, they're told, oh, you're so pretty. Oh, honey, be careful. And boys are told, be strong and, oh, that's fine. Shake it off, and not to show emotion. And we're conditioned into those roles, from a very young age, whether people realize they're doing it or not. So it is a shame because so many girls are discouraged from pursuing things they would enjoy and feel wrong for, you know, wanting to be strong or, you know, not necessarily needing to feel vulnerable or needing someone else to support them. And it's really a shame. And that's, I'm involved in a lot of things to help women embrace strength training and embrace, you know, being a strong woman and realize there's nothing wrong with that.
I think that's what strikes us so much about the documentary Transformer is the scenes where you're powerlifting with other women and even mm-hmm. other men, and the enthusiasm you have for your sport is really infectious.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's something I've just always been passionate about since a very young age, and I love doing, and it's great being around people that share that passion. So, and I think that comes through in the film. You can really see that, you know, that it's authentic, and it's something that, you know, those of us that are really into it really enjoy.
Well, you're best friends with Paolo Bautista, who's one of my mm-hmm. dear friends.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Yeah, yeah.
and this is what's really wonderful about you is just, and I feel like as LGBT people, we've been bullied. We've been ostracized from fitness to some degree. And mm-hmm. so I'm always like trying to, especially for trans people and for women, I think, you know, for gay men, it's been a little bit easier for us to get into a gym. But it's like, I think mm-hmm. fitness is really critical in terms of LGBT liberation.
For sure. And especially with so many people, just feeling empowered and feeling strong. And I know a lot of the trans men, especially, you know, it surprised me to find out how many of them felt really intimidated to get into the gyms and, you know, didn't feel welcome. And so like, cause the gym for me, I mean, that's always felt like home. So I've never, even when I was small and skinny as a kid, I never felt, you know, maybe that pressure. I mean, sometimes I was maybe a little intimidated by the really big, aggressive, strong people, but I always found it a welcoming place. But there are so many people in the LGBT community that find it threatening or intimidating and are afraid to pursue the things they really want to because they're not sure how they'll be received or the pressure they feel, you know, to not be part of that community.
How do we help people get over that hump? Because it's a common occurrence. I know exactly what you're talking about. Every day I talk to somebody and they're like, oh, I don't go to the gym. It's so intimidating.
Well, I think the thing to realize, too, is that a lot of times that's people's their perceptions and not necessarily what other people in the gym think. I think people are under the perception, you know, there's still this stereotype of the big, dumb meatheads that are, you know, that are mean people and that don't like anyone else that isn't big and strong like them. And that's simply not the case. And not to say that people like that don't exist, but it's definitely the minority and definitely the rarity and not what's common. What you'll find, especially like in the powerlifting community and like the strongman community, it's extremely welcoming and extremely supportive. I've played a ton of sports in my life, and I've never seen any sports like powerlifting and strongman where even your competitors are rooting for you. They're very, very welcoming areas, and there's a lot of people that are very supportive. It's just a lot of times the hardest part is just getting in the door and, you know, exposing yourself to those things and, you know, finding those groups of people. But if you're looking for people that are especially powerlifting focused or strongman focused, you're going to find some very welcoming communities.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because I do notice the difference between like bodybuilders and powerlifters.
Yeah.
Whereas bodybuilders tend to be very vain sometimes, you know, they're like teenage girls yeah. who hate their bodies and they look fabulous. And then there's yeah. powerlifters, as Henry Rollins says, the iron does not lie.
Right. Yeah, it's just a very different mentality, right? It draws two very different types of people. And I've competed in both. And yes, there are, and not to say there aren't good bodybuilders, because there are. So there's some great people involved in the sport. But on the average, it is. Bodybuilding is a much more, you know, selfish type endeavor, and it's all about looks and aesthetics. So it tends to draw a different type of person versus powerlifting or a strongman, where that's a very, you know, it's a very objective sport, and it's very, you know, strength driven. People don't care what you look like. It's about what you can do. Those, and for whatever reason, those sports just have a lot of camaraderie and a lot of support, and people love to see people working hard no matter what level you're at, you know, whether you're a beginner or you're experienced. You know, not to say there aren't some jerks, but that's definitely, you know, not common in the sport.
Well, at your gym, everybody's welcome as long as they re-rack the weights.
For sure.
And if they don't, you better watch out.
Yeah.
Now we have a group of documentary films and series that have been capturing the transition process, mm-hmm. becoming Chaz, I Am Kate, and now Transformer. And from talking to a lot of trans people, and certainly for myself too, it's like it's allowing us to get a visual language and an understanding of what it means to own your body and to become the person you were meant to be. and how to navigate that with your friends and family.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, everyone's experience is different, right? I mean, mm-hmm. being trans for one person is a completely different experience for others, even though there's some commonalities that link us all. And so, you know, there's so many different paths and there's so many different things, what's right for each individual. I mean, some people, you know, moving through transition as fast as possible is going to be the best thing for them. Where other people, it takes time and maybe not every step of transition is for them. So there's no set path and there's no, you know, no rules to it. It's whatever makes you feel the most comfortable in your body and whatever makes you happy.
It's interesting in Transformer that your kids seem almost nonchalant. There's one scene where you're talking about your upcoming facial feminization surgery, and your oldest mm-hmm. son starts yawning of how bored he is with it all.
Yeah, to them, I mean, you know, they've known since they were, I told them when they were 2, 4, and 6, and so they've known their entire lives. So to them, you know, this is just me and just who I am. And yeah, it's not a big deal. They really struggle to understand why anyone would care if someone's gay or bi or trans or different in any way, because to them, that's just, you know, fortunately, I told them at an age where they hadn't learned prejudice yet. And so to them, it was just another way people are different.
And their friends, like if when they're going, I mean, because you're one of the world's most famous athletes, and like in the top 25 bodybuilders, powerlifters, your name always pops up. And I imagine that in their community, they're going to have some pushbacks, and especially in Michigan.
You know, you would think so, but ironically enough, that hasn't really happened, or at least not to our faces. I mean, we have heard other parents have said things, nasty things about me or whatever, but, you know, never to my face and never directly to my boys. And no one, and the thing is, too, with my boys, they're very secure in who they are. So that helps a lot, too, so that they don't really care what other people say. My youngest has said some of his friends, you know, will tease him a little bit about it, and they joke about it. But it's not anything that bothers him. And, you know, and I guess he rips on their parents or whatever, too. And it's kind of a back and forth thing. But
I am jealous of your sons getting to train with you. You know, like we're all watching this. It was like, you know, my dad was like taking naps, or, you know, my mother was like, let's make some popcorn. And you're like, let's do bench pressing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's funny because my oldest is more of a runner, but he's really gotten into training in the last couple of years. And, you know, I write training programs for him and his friends to follow. And then my middle son is, you know, in an athletic way, is kind of like my mini me. I mean, he's, you know, super competitive, loves lifting and loves sports. And, you know, I've been writing training programs for him and his training partners for a long time. And they live, well, I mean, I have joint custody, so they do live with me as well, but they spend more time at my ex's house. And so it's like about 86 miles, like an hour and 20 minute drive from my house. But at least once a week, every week, I drive over there to train with Garrett and his training partner, his friend Carson. And, you know, just to get training time in with them. And it's a good way for us to just spend quality time together. So that, you know, it's one of those things, too. When they were little, I always wondered, like, gosh, are they going to take an interest in this? Will this be anything they enjoy doing? And initially, they didn't show any interest in it when they were young. And I never pushed them. I never really, you know, I was like, this is what I do, and if you guys want to come down and do it with me, that's great, but you don't have to. But then as they got a little bit older, they started, you know, asking more questions and showing more interest and started training with me more consistently, and then eventually just, you know, got motivated on their own, and, you know, then they were bugging me for programs and stuff. So it's been great that we can share that together, and, you know, it's something I always hoped for, and it's been really nice that it's happened.
Because you've seen Arnold Schwarzenegger and his kids, and it's the guy he had with the Mexican lady is the one that everyone's really excited about being the future Arnold.
You know? Because he's getting big?
Yeah, because he's actually training at Gold's Gym, the Arnold's old stomping grounds, you know. And I can imagine that for your sons, you know, it can be intimidating sometimes to be doing something that your parents were known for being excelling, extraordinary in.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see where that could be a lot of pressure. I mean, so far it doesn't seem to be that way for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, they do get people, and I mean, they're also used to. The thing is that, you know, even prior to transition, obviously I stuck out a lot in public, right? So they were used to, like, going places with me and us getting stopped all the time, you know, sometimes for photos or for autographs or just people asking me questions about training. I mean, that happened all the time. And they were always very patient about it, and you know, because I always try to be, you know, I tried to be nice to everyone. And if people were, you know, gracious enough to want those things from me and be complimentary, you know, I felt like I definitely owed them at least a few minutes to, you know, talk to them and answer some questions. And but my boys were very good, because there are sometimes, I mean, you know, especially like we'd be at the beach and if I was, I remember one time I was walking up towards the restrooms and one person came up and started talking to me. Well, as soon as other people saw that, pretty soon there was like a crowd around me, and it literally took 45 minutes for me to make it to the bathroom. so my boys were used to that kind of stuff happening. And I think that's just part of who I am. And I think they're proud of having a parent that, you know, has achieved some of the things I have. And like, and Garrett, my middle son, he's come to the Arnold with me. He's, you know, got to see me do some of these things. And Max, my youngest, came 1 year and they got to go to the show and see me in the expo booth and experience those kind of things. So that's been really nice. And I wish they, you know, they came to some of my competitions when they were really little, but when I was in my prime, they were, you know, they were at those ages that they weren't going to be able to sit at a powerlifting meet all day, and they didn't get to travel with me to some of the big contests. So it's kind of a bummer they never got to see me break the world records and, you know, win world championships and stuff like that. But now they're aware of all that. And I think they, you know, they're proud of that fact. And so if people do say nasty things about me or things like that, they're kind of like, whatever, you know, my parent has still done 10 times more than yours ever has. So why do I care what you say?
In contrast, in the documentary film, the relationship with your parents are much having a much harder time with you being trans, and your father even saying, I'm going to run out of here, you know?
Yeah, basically, yeah, I'll go the other way if you show up like that, yeah.
Has that changed since the film was captured?
Unfortunately, no. No, it hasn't.
Why do you think that your parents are having a harder time than your kids are?
Well, I think that they've, you know, they grew up in a time when that was not okay at all, and it's hard for them to shake that. And plus, still, you know, still living in a small town where things like that, differences aren't accepted. I wasn't the only trans girl that came from my little small town, but last I knew, the one that was older than me, she moved away to New York City. And I know there's a handful of gay people that all moved away. And it's just a very difficult place to be part of the LGBT community, because it's a small rural town that still has very conservative, traditional views. And I think my parents, they haven't been exposed to a lot. And all they've seen is that small world. And for them, it's still very difficult to understand. And I think, especially my mom, I think she worries too much about what other people think.
Well, some parents like say that the idea of grieving the loss of your child prepares you to embrace the new person. But Mark, you think that's kind of a negative thing.
I think it's kind of negative, because it's just like, because here is like, what, your kid's dead and now you have this trans person sitting in front of you. What,
right.
Did she kill that person? Like, yeah. Like, are you looking at this new trans person as a murderer? Like, it's just,
yeah,
it doesn't seem right. I wish there was a more positive way to view it. It's just like, look, my little baby just finally turned into a butterfly, you know, some kind of transformation rather than just like an ending.
A death, yeah. Yeah, I did. When my mom, when she said that during the filming, honestly, that was the first time she'd ever met Janae. Mm-hmm. And you see in the film, I talk about, you know, I was trying to have that conversation with her for 10 years, you know, and I'd been extremely patient. And I basically said, you know, I'm not going to wait any longer. I've given you a million opportunities. You promised me over and over again that you would. And, you know, she would keep just avoiding it or, you know, making excuses why she couldn't. And if I even tried to have a conversation, she would change the topic. So I was like, you know what, this is something that needs to happen. And it just worked out that they were filming the documentary at the time. But when she said that, you know, it was like I had died, that really kind of caught me off guard and shocked me that she felt that way. Cause she wouldn't even discuss it. But yeah, I can't really, and as a parent myself, I can't really understand that. I mean, I understand that, you know, discovering there's a lot more about your child than you knew, and this is kind of a shock. But seeing it as a death, I can't get there.
The weird thing too is that it's like your mom's not the first person to express that sentiment. It almost seems like it's a very common sentiment for some parents of trans people.
Yeah, that interests me, that why people view it that way. But I guess that just shows you what a negative view they have of it. That you know, they're so devastated that the person they thought you were isn't all of who you are, that they see it as a death. But I think that just says a lot about how they view transgender people. So thinking that
they think
so
about
horrible.
Gender in general, because, you know, at the end of the day, you're not really a new you're still the same person. You just have a different name and a different appearance.
Yeah, and you know, there may be some small differences in how I present myself or my, you know, mannerisms, stuff like that, because of things I was conscious of before. But yeah, you're still the same person, and I realize that for them it's a shock to think that, you know, especially me being this, you know, seemingly, you know, ultimate alpha male, and then finding out that, you know, I actually have a female gender identity. I can see that being a shock, and I can see it taking time to adjust to, but viewing as a death, or like my mom having an entire decade, and still what bothered me most with my mom was that she never made any effort and still hasn't, you know, like, so I can understand the shock. I can understand confusion. What I can't understand is not trying. And that's been the difficult thing with her. You know, the fact that she's made zero effort. I've been like, look, here's, if you want to read books, you know, here's books you can read. Here's stuff you can look up online. You know, I'm willing to answer any questions you have, but she simply won't make any effort.
Maybe you just need to make a casserole for her.
She needs the old pee flag. She needs to,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like
drag her butt to a pee flag meeting and be issues, talk to these people, you know, because you want to have a good relationship. Because you have such a great, it seems like you have such a great relationship with your sons.
Oh, I do. I mean, our relationship is amazing. And even with my mom, you know, other than that, we had a great relationship growing up, right? I mean, I was close to her and she was very involved in my life in most ways. And it's so weird now just to see how much things have changed. And like, I really haven't been welcome at Thanksgiving or Christmas in years now. She won't come out and say that exactly, but it's, you know, kind of gives you the hints like, well, I don't want drama and I don't want people to be uncomfortable. And so, you know, basically what she's saying is, if you show up in a dress, that's going to weird everyone out and I don't want to deal with it. So it's just, you know, I don't know. As a parent, I can't understand that, but...
You know, because for some bodybuilders, coming out as bodybuilders is... as much of a stigma as being LGBT for them. Like, the families are like, you're this other person that I don't understand, and I see this transformation, and I worry about your health, I worry about your happiness, and the conversations are very similar to some degree.
Yeah, I would say, you know, not nearly as extreme, and it depends on the community, it depends on the people. But sure. my grandma said that about lifting. Oh, you're just going to hurt yourself, and you know, she just didn't get it at all. Why anyone would want to do that? And then, but then, of course, when I came out as trans, now she completely disowned me. So I guess the trans was definitely worse than being a powerlifter, bodybuilder. But yeah, she wasn't thrilled about that either.
You've come out as gender fluid on your Instagram account. And can you talk a little bit? Because this is the thing that I find so exciting about you is that you're not willing to give up anything. You want to have it all, and you deserve it all.
Well, I don't
femininity,
know if I...
Femininity, muscle, all of it.
Yes.
Well, you know what? I'm just being who I am. And so I'm trying really hard not to let people or society, you know, put me in a box that doesn't fit. Mm-hmm. And so I identify as transgender, gender fluid, and non-binary. And I think all those fit me and all those help to describe me. But I definitely have a female gender identity. But at the same time, my gender is fluid. There are some days I'm more masculine. There's sometimes I'm more feminine. Sometimes it changes on the day. Sometimes it changes on the situation. And it's not something I can control. And then the same thing with like non-binary. I don't fit neatly in any one box. I mean, there's parts about me that are very masculine. There's parts about me that are hyper feminine. And, you know, I kind of, in a black and white world, I'm very gray. I kind of blur all that up and make it very messy. But it's just who I am. It's not anything I want or anything I try to be. It's just who I am. And, you know, I use those labels to try to describe myself. And it's just, you know, that's just the reality of it.
There's a lot of wisdom in your perspective of being trans that I think is significantly different being a high profile figure as yourself in comparison to Caitlyn Jenner or Chaz Bono. And I think a reason they were sometimes clueless about a lot of the ideas behind being trans is they were just isolated from LGBT culture and people. And it seems like you have a really strong support network in Michigan.
Yeah, I definitely do. I have a lot of good, you know, friends in both in Michigan and around the country that, you know, friends I had before, friends I've made since being outed, you know, and friends that are trans, friends that are other parts of the LGBT community, you know, my straight powerlifter friends and Marines. I mean, a very diverse group that supports me, which is really nice. But yeah, I think the difference between me and those individuals is that, you know, I grew up this a poor kid from a small town. And even now, like, while I may, you know, I may be fairly well known in the weightlifting community and in the trans community, but I still work a 9-to-5 job. I still live a very normal life. And it keeps me very grounded. And here's the thing too, that really helped keep me grounded and gave me a great perspective. So at the peak of my powerlifting career, you know, on one weekend, I might be going to an expo and signing autographs and have people waiting an hour or 2 hours in a line to take a photo with me. And, you know, you get a small dose of what being, you know, famous is like. Then I go home and I'm going back to my 9-to-5 job. But then also when I first started going out in public, you know, as trans, and I wasn't passing at all. And, I was getting a very real lesson on what it's like to be a third class citizen, being treated horribly, you know, and being looked down on like I was less than human. So, you know, it was a very surreal world to be living in. You know, one day I'm like an average person, another day I'm being treated like I'm a superstar, and then another day I'm being treated like I'm scum of the earth. So I'm really thankful for those experiences, because I think it gave me a really good perspective and helped keep me grounded and helped me see things from a lot of different angles.
So it's kind of like you're training your muscles of humility from different angles.
Yeah, that's probably a good way to look at it.
It's like, you know, you're doing low intensity, high intensity, high volume, low volume. You know, it's like it in a lot of ways, your wisdom is stemming from the fact that you have all these different rich experiences that are very different from each other.
Yeah, it definitely. I mean, I think for anyone, when you're able to see things from different sides, it definitely gives you a unique perspective. And for me, I just, you know, the way my life has been, like I said, basically, I mean, people always don't like me to say it this way, but I basically grew up poor white trash. You know, I grew up in a dumpy trailer with an alcoholic father. I know what it's like to dumpster dive and do things like that. And you know, and then coming from that background.
Your dad sold a pot and had a little pot garden.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever get inside it?
We weren't allowed. It was in this like secret basement that was in the ground behind the trailer, and it had a lock on the door. We were told there was dangerous chemicals down there. We just didn't know they were THC, you know. but
dangerous.
Yeah, no. But we always wondered why dad's friends only came over for a couple minutes and never came in the house. You know, they always met in the driveway and left right away. We always thought that was a little weird until, you know, we probably were in our mid-teens when we kind of figured out what was going on. And we always thought dad rolled his own cigarettes that smelled funny, you know, but
it strikes me that everybody wants to be your friend. I mean, you're just a really likable person, and you're just so warm and inviting.
You. No, I don't know, honestly, I try to treat everyone kind, but I just think it's my natural personality too. I'm a social person and the thing is too, with the perspectives and the way I grew up, like I said, I know what it's like to be treated really, really crappy. And I've always, you know, and then when I was working my way up in the powerlifting world and in other ways, and I would meet someone that I was never the type to idolize people, but I definitely had respect for certain people. And I met someone that I had respect for, and they turned out not to be a nice person. That really left an impression on me. So I really, you know, made a conscious effort to never be like that. And so I just think it combined experiences, the way I grew up, and just, you know, naturally how I'm wired. It's just not in my nature to be a mean person.
Well, I think you have a great sense of humor. I love your Instagram. There's a picture of you. You have bruises from your surgery, and I love that you're very open about all the procedures that you've gone through and like guiding people like, this is what I've been through. And then you're comparing the bruises to your surgery to like Darth Maul from Star Wars.
Yeah. That was the first thing that popped into my head when I saw the picture. Like, oh my god, I look like Darth Maul. But I think you have to have a sense of humor about that stuff, right? I mean, it just makes it a lot easier to deal with, and it's a crazy process. I mean, we go through a lot of crazy stuff, and I just think it's really important to be open about that, just to help educate people and to help people like me that are coming after me. Because I one of the most frustrating things for me was initially the lack of information out there. You know, pre-internet, there was no real good information on trans people. All the books were written by people outside the community. They were very academic and very inaccurate. And it always frustrated me too when I would meet trans girls that, you know, had already transitioned, and I would have tons of questions for them. They were very reluctant to answer them. And I understood. I mean, some of the stuff is very private, but it was frustrating. It's like, look, I'm on the same kind of journey, and I have a lot of real questions. And when they refuse to help me with them, that I always found that very frustrating. So I try to be, you know, as open as I can be. And because, like I said, I remember what it's like to be confused and scared and not have the answers. And so if someone has questions, I try everything, you know, try as hard as I can to answer them.
I loved in the film, and your film Transformer too, is like when the makeup came out, the music got serious. the mirror light went on, the makeup came out, and dun dun dun.
Yeah, it almost felt like the beginning of a Rambo movie or something.
War paint.
Something was going to happen.
Yeah. Well, you spent your whole life like receiving questions about training, and in some ways, it sort of prepared you. You know, the bodybuilding, the powerlifting prepared you to transition. In some ways.
Well, I'll tell you what it really, really helped me with was to deal with like the hate and the nasty stuff afterwards, because even at like my peak in powerlifting, when I was really popular and I had a lot of fans, there was still a lot of hate, and maybe it wasn't in numbers, but definitely in volume, you know, so I got used to people hating on me that had never met me and didn't know anything about me. And, cause initially that was a shock. It's like, why would these people say this stuff? They've never even met me. And that's totally not true. But, that's just how people are. And so I learned to deal with that early on in my powerlifting career, because like the thing was for me, even though I'd been training for a really, really long time and it was like a slow climb to the top, after I won my first Arnold, my first world championship, everything changed overnight. Like before that, no one really knew me unless they were local lifters. And then after I won the Arnold, it was like all of a sudden everyone knew who I was. And you know, I had sponsors calling me and people were, everyone was talking about me on forums and it was just a crazy change. And then all of a sudden people are saying all these nasty things. And so I learned from that how to deal with that hate and just, you know, basically to ignore it and be able to laugh at it. And so then when I came out as trans and, you know, it was even worse, it was fine because I'd already dealt with all those kind of things just in a different way. And not to say that there aren't once in a while there isn't something that kind of really hits home that somebody says that, you know, kind of irks you. But for the most part, I can laugh at it. And one thing I think it's important that I realize that I always try to keep in mind is when somebody says something terrible about me, it's more of a reflection of who they are than who I am. I just really try to stay conscious of that. And it really helps to deal with those things.
Your body is formidable for anyone, but especially somebody who has gone through cancer, you know, estrogen replacement therapy. And I mean, you know, you must be getting a lot of people still coming to you and say, how do you do it? How do you look so good?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the thing is, and this I try to remind people is that, you know, the thing is that I've been training since I was 9 years old. I've really never taken time off away from the sport. And the thing is too, like, even though I'm big and muscular now, I'm still kind of a shadow of what I once was. So it's like when people are like, gosh, how are you so strong? It's like, well, you got to remember, I was a lot stronger. So this is still a big step back for me. And that's hard for me to deal with a lot of times. It's hard to go in the gym and do things like struggle with weights that used to be a warm up for me. And so even though, you know, like I said, I can walk into a lot of local gyms and still be the biggest, strongest person in there. But in the big scope of things, this is still a far cry from where I once was. Mm. You know, now I'm still probably carrying a good 40 to 50 pounds less muscle than I did at my biggest. And my strength is nowhere near, you know, I'm hundreds of pounds less on all three lifts than I once was. You know, still not too bad, but all things considered. But yeah, and it's still hard for me as an athlete. You know, no athlete wants to be, you know, weaker than they once were or slower than they once were. And for me to have to deal with that, it's tough. There's a lot of days it frustrates me. And I struggle with, you know, wanting to get back to like my best ever, or sometimes wanting to lean up more and pursue different goals. So, but it's something that's still tough, and I love training and everything, but it's hard. It's hard to be an athlete and not be at your best.
Well, it's all about scale and perspective, you know, and right. My day job, I'm the most muscular, most athletic person at my gym. I'm not, you know, and it's sometimes you have to remember that, you know, there's always going to be somebody who is stronger and bigger than you, and also somebody who needs you, and to make yourself available for that person to lift everybody up.
Right, right. Yeah, it like you said, it's all about perspective, and what one can, you know, what one person considers strong to another person is nothing, and vice versa. So it's, you know, it's all where you come from and what your goals are, and you know, we just try to do the best we can and be happy with who we are.
Do people, I mean, I imagine that a lot of people want to go on a date with you, but they're like wanting to go to the gym as much as it goes to the movies. Because you're single right now. You're single.
Actually, I've been dating a girl. Okay. Yeah. So I'm in a relationship right now. We actually met at the film festival in Toronto in the spring, and we've been dating for several months, and things are going really, really well. But I did take about a 3-year break from dating, it didn't have anything to do with this, but pretty close to the same time I was outed. It was just, there was so much going on in my life and with me, like, you know, pursuing transition and stuff. I just felt like I needed a break from all that. And I had, you know, had done a fair amount of dating and hadn't been excited about anybody in a real long time. So I just took some real time away and was kind of, you know, I know at this point in my life, I'm looking for someone to share my life with, and I'm not into casual dating. But so far, with the girl I met at the film festival, things are going amazing and I'm really happy. And I you know, it's hard to say, it's still early, but I see this as being long term.
Are you guys going like mostly to the movies, or what's your date like?
Oh, gym. Yeah,
it's a gym date. Yeah,
she's an athlete as well. She's a firefighter and competes in FireFit, and she just won the Canadian National Championships and set the Canadian world record. And so she's an elite athlete as well. So we've totally. You know, we're totally on the same page with that kind of stuff. She has that same kind of training mentality and she's super tough. And so it's really nice to be in a relationship with somebody like that. But then, we also, you know, we mesh up really well. I mean, there's some things I would say that some ways about her that she has some masculine attributes and you know, she's very feminine in a lot of ways too, but it meshes very well in the ways that I'm feminine and masculine. So so far we seem to be, things seem to be going amazing and I'm really excited about her. But our typical dates are working out and doing things like that. And we go hiking and do other things. And we're actually probably gonna go mountain biking later this week. But we do all the typical stuff too. And she's actually coming to Michigan this weekend to go to the premiere with me, near my hometown and with a whole bunch of my friends. So far so good. And it's really nice, you know, to be in a relationship with someone like that.
Well, congratulations. It sounds like you're really into her.
Yeah, I am. So Can you tell that just a little bit?
You mentioned in the movie that you have to ask yourself, how are you going to find peace and balance? How are you finding peace and balance these days?
Honestly, I think the biggest thing is recognizing that I don't fit neatly into a box and not trying to force myself to. Honestly, that's the biggest struggle, because it's so easy with the way society is and all the pressure we feel from all these sources. And a lot of times you're not even conscious of it. You know, it's just going out in public and, you know, having people look at you weird, or, you know, just the way things are so gendered. It's hard not to fall in that trap of this, you know, being locked into this binary world where you have to pick one side or the other and then try to conform to those expectations. And so for me, it's just reminding myself, like, look, you don't fit neatly in this box, so don't try to. Because if I try to, it's always going to result in failure, and it's always going to result in frustration. So for me, finding balance and peace and being happy is all about being myself and not society push me into being anything else. And that's something I have to stay conscious of daily.
Yeah, boxes are for working on your squat. Not to
be
funny.
There you go.
Janae Marie Kroc. Can I call you Janae Kroc?
You sure can.
Can you do us a favor? Can you say, this is Janae Marie Kroc? And when I'm not hitting the max at the gym, I like to listen to Feast of Fun, my favorite podcast, or something like
that. This is Janae Marie Kroc. And when I'm not hitting the weights hard, I love to listen to Feast of Fun.
Yay! We absolutely love you. This is such a dream come true. I've followed your life for a long time in the news and on Instagram, and we've chatted a little bit, but I'm sure you're chatting to thousands of people all the time. So it's a real delight and pleasure to meet you and to talk to you.
Well, thank you so much. I'm very honored, and I appreciate all the kind words. And honestly, it does mean a lot.
I want to just tell you I love you and give you a big hug and a kiss.
Hopefully we'll get a chance to do that sometime soon.
Come to Chicago.
I would love to.
Yeah, we're here. Or we'll have to drive to Michigan and go to Larry's favorite bar.
Where's that at?
Necto, is it? Is that the one?
No way! That's like my stopping grounds.
We're going to have to stay in touch. Great. Thank you so much, Janae Marie Kroc.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Janae Marie Kroc lives in Ypsilanti, Michigan. Transformer comes out in theaters October 19th. Learn more about this amazing documentary film at transformerfilm.com or on our website, feastoffun.com.
I want to say thank you to Say Kavi, our trans friend who watched the movie with us and gave us some very important insight. And
she's our research assistant. Yeah. So what was your reflections on the documentary film? Because I actually liked it a lot. And I think in terms of films and television series that capture trans people, especially high profile trans people, documenting that process, it can be a little bit tiresome, a little bit repetitive, or almost a trope. And I felt like I was seeing that experience mm-hmm. with fresh set of eyes for Transformer. Mm. And I think, you know, a lot of it has to do with Janae's spirit, this idea that it's like, if something is wrong in my life, it's something to be celebrated sometimes because it's an obstacle. It's a chance for growth.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's, you know, this is a person that has goals and you see them, there's a physical manifestation of those mm-hmm. goals and that building of that muscle. And this is a person that recognizes that they have a female identity in there. And so they're like, I have a goal now. It's like, I'm going to appear more feminine. And there, you know, what I did with muscle, I'm going to do with femininity.
Yeah. And I've always told people, it's like, you don't need to compromise anything to be who you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's an important lesson to take mm-hmm. away from here. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you're into skating and you're transitioning, don't give that up just because you mm-hmm. feel like it's going to be mm-hmm. somehow at odds with something else that you're yeah. passionate about.
And if you follow her Instagram too, she gives lots of great advice on transitioning. You know, the number one advice is like, you know, is there really a wrong way to transition? You know, you do it at your own speed, be the kind of person that you want to be, follow your own rules.
Yeah. Gender is for you to define mm-hmm. and no one else.
Yeah.
And if someone says like, you're not a real woman or you're not a real man or you're not a real person, just say, honey, you're really stupid.
I want to thank everybody for listening. And if you're not a Plus subscriber yet, please sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus, because we wouldn't be able to talk to fabulous people like Janae Marie if it weren't for you. Again, you can do that at feastoffun.com/plus.
You've done croc rows.
I do croc rows all the time. I love them much better than bent over rows.
What is it that about, you know, you're supporting yourself with it at an angle, mm-hmm. why do you feel that like that's more effective way of targeting your rowing muscles?
I think there's a convenience to it because you just are kind of there and you can just hop on something and you're there and then your butt's out in the air and people are looking at you and like, ooh, what's happening
it's
over there? It's sexy. You know, it's like Animal Planet. You're presenting.
Well, it almost it puts your body mm-hmm. in a more active stance. And I feel like sometimes when you're when your torso is parallel to the ground, as opposed to at an angle, it can be, you know, your lower back is more at risk and you're much more unstable. I feel like at a slight angle, it stabilizes your body a little bit more, you know, because as human beings, we walk vertically, you know, so it's easier to be sturdier that way. You know, and to me, it's like, if it's Arnold overhead presses, right? That's dumbbells who are palms facing each other, or a croc rows. We owe a lot to these, you know, pioneers. Jack LaLanne, who he created so much of the equipment, all that Nautilus equipment, all those, you know, machines that you use at the gym came from a small handful of people who are pioneers who said, I'm not content with the way things are. I want more. I want to envision a better world for myself and for other people. And I think that's what at the core of the story that we're trying to tell here on Feast of Fun, that transgender people and bodybuilders share a lot in common besides just wanting to have the body they dream of. We can make a world a better place when we just step back, listen, and appreciate each other. I want to do a shout out to Janae Kroc, Christina Bruce, Paolo Bautista, and all those trans bodybuilders, nonconformists, eccentric, magical people who fearlessly are themselves. You are why we do what we do. I want to thank you guys so much for listening today.
Thank you so much. I'm Mark Fillion.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.